So let's start with a roadblock that can prevent people from entering into this gospel. For many Americans, this can be a challenging gospel to hear because it goes against the American ethos, as it were, around work and accomplishment. Namely, that all of these workers went out to labor in the vineyard at different times of day, and yet they all received the same daily wage. In fact, the last of them even got paid first, and the first got paid last. And as Americans living in a capitalist society, we believe that people should get paid according to the number of hours that they work. Or if you accomplish more, then you should receive a greater reward for that. So these workers who came later have less hours on their timesheet, therefore they should receive less. And so it just seems unfair to us. That can be a mental roadblock when beginning this gospel. And so it challenges us. All of the parables that Jesus shares with us should challenge us in some way. But this parable in particular, it's talking about the life of grace. And all parables, but Jesus states it explicitly here, are talking about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven can be difficult for us to comprehend. It can be very mysterious to us. So Jesus presents these parables to those who have the eyes and ears of faith to be able to better understand the spiritual life and the life to come. It also helps us understand that God does not operate on the same accomplishments-based, tit-for-tat mindset that human beings do. Our first reading from the prophet Isaiah sheds light on this when the prophet says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts." God does not operate the same way that we do. One of the things that this parable is pointing to is this, that God desires for everyone to be saved, to be in heaven with him for all eternity. And he wants to give everyone that opportunity. So God gives us different chances to be able to cooperate with his grace at every moment of every day of our lives. We also receive sanctifying grace in the sacraments to help us live that holy life, to be able to sanctify us from within. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone is saved or automatically going to heaven, but everyone receives the same chance to be able to cooperate with God's grace that's present in everyone's life. And the parable speaks to the different responses of people to that grace at different times. So some go out in the vineyard earlier to work, and then others go out later. But either way, the reward is the same, that people receive the reward of the kingdom of heaven. So we might think of someone who is baptized when he or she is an infant, and they live their Catholic faith their entire life, the sacramental life within the church. That person can receive the same daily wage, the same opportunity for salvation as the person who has a deathbed conversion at the end of their life. Now, maybe that person who has the deathbed conversion, maybe they receive other chances to be able to convert throughout their life, and that's just the moment that speaks to them. That's when they respond. But either way, each person receives the same opportunity for grace that God desires for that person to be saved. We agree to the usual daily wage. And the good news about this, one way to think about it, is that it's really never too early and it's never too late to be able to respond to God's grace in your life. So, for example, if you're a student in school, you can respond to God's grace right now by living the holy life that the Lord is calling you to. If you're a person who's more advanced in years, let's say, you can still respond to God's grace, even if you might feel some regret for not responding earlier. the Lord is still giving you that opportunity, is still giving you that chance. You can still respond. Now, maybe you're someone who's in between both of those places. And in all cases, really, we all have that chance to receive the usual daily wage. If we look at it like this, we should really be thankful. We should be thankful that the Lord doesn't give up on us, that he always presents opportunities of grace for us in our lives. He continues to call us. And all we have to do is respond to that call. Now here, you might hit another roadblock. And maybe you felt this as I was reading the gospel, or maybe as I was preaching. And that feeling is envy. After one of the workers receives his wage, he grumbles about everyone receiving the same wage for the different amounts of time worked. And the vineyard owner responds to him, "Are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I am generous?" Envy is sorrow at another person's good. That's how the churches define envy. And it happens when a person has something that we think we should have, and we think that by them having that, it diminishes our good. And usually where it manifests itself is in comparison, where we compare ourselves to other people. So we can look at someone else's life and think that our life would be better if I just had their life. Or they have something that we can't do or think that we should be able, or maybe they have something that we can do, but we think we should be able to do better. And we think that it diminishes what we have. And typically, we're envious of people that are around the same status, maybe around the same state in life as us, maybe have the same perceived abilities that we do. For example, I'm never going to be envious of Steph Curry in basketball. Or I'm never going to be envious of Patrick Mahomes in football. Because I know they can play those sports better than I can, and I know that I am beyond the stage of becoming a professional athlete in my life. I know it's just out of my reach. So I'm probably never going to be envious of those people. Or I might not be envious of someone who's 80 years old, for example, because I know that they're older than I am and have more experience than I do. But I could feel envious towards other priests or other young people that are close to my age. So we can have this in the spiritual life too. We can think, well, I've been Catholic my whole life, and that person just had a conversion 5 minutes ago, and the Lord seems to be showering them with all kinds of graces, and they seem to be having a much better prayer life than I am. And it just doesn't seem fair. It's kind of the same thing that the older son has in the parable of the prodigal son, where he feels jealous of the younger son who returns to his father after the older son has been working for his father for years and never abandoned his father. It's that same kind of envious feeling that we can have. And envy has this power to kill our joy. It really sucks the life out of it. And it can make us not appreciate what we have in this life. It can make us, moreover, it can make us not like the generosity of God. There's a bit of pride, too, that goes into that, thinking, well, I know better than God. I know that if I had this, then everything would be great in my life. And the remedy to envy, ultimately, is gratitude. The parable says, "Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go," is what the landowner says. Take what is yours and go. So we should acknowledge the grace of God that we see in our life, both maybe graces we see, maybe graces that we don't see, and give thanks to the Lord for that. And instead of complaining to the Lord about what we don't have or what we think we're lacking, acknowledging that the Lord gave me that particular grace in my life for this moment, at this time, for my salvation, even if we don't see how it might play out that way. There's always going to be graces. There's always going to be things that we don't have. But comparing myself to others is not going to help me get that grace. It's not going to help me get that accomplishment. In fact, actually, if we lack something, that could also be an invitation for us to rely on the Lord more and more, a chance to be able to surrender to Him. So accomplishment-based thinking and envy. Those are two roadblocks that can prevent us from really seeking God's grace and being thankful for that grace. But we have to remember, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts.